Hey, Grove Church, Pastor Nick King here, and I am elated that you are here joining us for today's message. Hey, this is a really important series that we've been in, or mini-series that we've been in, and we've been talking about our giving, so our offering and our tithes, and really what the Bible says about those things. I want to dive into part two of our sermon today. And if you haven't had a chance to watch part one, you can certainly do that now. You can go to our website, yourgrovechurch.org, or you can go to our YouTube page and check it out there as well. But we're really concluding this little mini series. Last week, we spent some time talking about the origins of offerings and sacrifices and tithing. And the idea of the conversation was really about highlighting what the Old and New Testament has to say about why we give. And so not only did we focus on the historical context, but also how that translates to our why today. And so we're going to pick up our series today, and we don't necessarily have a foundational text for today, but we're going to read some scripture. So grab your Bible, make sure you have something to take notes with, and let's go ahead and jump in. I want to give you our title for today, and if you joined last week's message, then you probably know exactly where we're going today. But today we're talking about how we should give, and it's all about the posture of our heart and our attitude as we're giving. Let's go ahead and pray, and then let's jump in. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you today. Lord, let us never take for granted that we get to receive from your word whenever we choose, whenever we want to. Your word is accessible to us. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to speak to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just hear today's message, but we would be doers of the word, meaning we're applying what we hear to our day-to-day life. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so today I want to spend some time talking about how we should give. And more specifically, what should be our posture when we give? In the Old Testament, giving and sacrificing were the requirements, right? The norms for daily life, if you will. And so it was just a part of their everyday life rituals. And we see this all throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's a little different. And even today, it's just a little different than what we experience or what we read about in the Old Testament. And today, giving is not a requirement as it had been in the Old Testament, right? And so, however, as we think about our giving, giving is a principle that Jesus talks about throughout his ministry. And it's a principle that he demonstrated regularly. And we give today to honor a loving God who first gave to us, frankly. And when we talk about tithing specifically, we still think of it as 10% because that's what tithing means. It just means 10th. So the first 10% of our income, our earnings, and it's typically the starting place for that giving in honor of the past, right? And so it's just a starting place. You are more than welcome to give above and beyond that, which we typically think of as our offering, but our tithing and our giving overall, it really is an opportunity for us to honor God. The way that I think about giving is that it's another way to demonstrate my love for Jesus, right? It's similar to a relationship where I might demonstrate my love for Nicole, my wife, by doing certain things to show her that I honor her and love her beyond what my words could describe. And when we bring an offering or tithe, what we are saying is beyond what my words can articulate, my giving demonstrates what I believe and what I feel about God. And not feel in the sense of our typical feelings, mad, sad, or angry, but the fact that he's present, the fact that he's alive, the fact that he's a loving God, that he's an active God. I feel him. And so I'm giving in honor of that, and also to demonstrate that I believe that he is who he says he is. And so as a result, I actually think it's more important to give today than it was in the Old Testament. And here's why. In the Old Testament, it was all about rules and regulations and ritual. And so it left little to no room for free will, right? And so in other words, you had to give whether you liked it or not. And today, our giving is in some sense optional, right? So when you give regularly and consistently out of your own free will, right? We're talking about the fact that, you know, again, the feeling that giving today is more important than it was back then, because when you give regularly and consistently out of your own free will without compulsion, what it does is it reflects a level of trust and devotion to God through your actions. And so in many ways, it also tells a lot about your faith and what you believe when you choose to give. And we're not talking about the amount of our gift, right? Just because I give tens of thousands of dollars doesn't mean I have more faith, but it's the fact that I choose to give. It's the fact that I choose to bring this offering into the storehouse, into the church to help the believers and the work of the believers and service to God. It's the fact that I believe that when I do that, it is going to be used for good. It is going to help further the kingdom of God. Because I give, it is a demonstration that I believe. And it shows the level of my trust in God as well. In the Old Testament, a lot of the emphasis was placed on the logistics of giving, right? Such as what you gave or when you gave. It was all about the logistics. And so when you brought an offering or sacrifice, you had to think about, is the animal clean? Is the order of my giving such that I brought my propitiatory offering before I brought my dedicatory offering, right? And so we talked about that last week and how you had to give one before the other one could be accepted or thought to be received well by God. And so there was more pomp and circumstance around giving in the Old Testament, whereas today the emphasis is not on what you give, but your heart behind your giving. And I know I'm saying all of this, and everyone has their different experiences with giving. I've been in churches where it's felt like you are going to give or you're going to die, or we're not going to let you out of here until you give. And then I've been in other churches where it felt very optional, especially for new time or new visitors or new guests or first time guests. So I've been in both camps, and you might have your own experience with giving in the church. But what I want you to understand is that from a biblical perspective, the biblical way in which we give, it's all about our heart. It's all about our attitude. It's not about how much, but more so about who we are and the condition of our hearts when we give. So again, I know the pomp and circumstance might still be present today, like it was around giving back then. But the reality is that the way in which the Bible, especially the New Testament, teaches us about giving is less about those rules and regulations and rituals, and it's more about the condition of our heart. And so even when you go back to the first offering recorded in Scripture in Genesis, we see God rejecting Cain's offering. So he accepts Abel. So Cain and Abel, God rejects Cain's offering. He accepts Abel. And obviously the story of Cain and Abel, Cain is upset about that. So he kills Abel, right? And so God rejects Cain's offering because he knew his heart wasn't in the right place. And God warned him, and he's, look, the sin, this condition of your heart is going to destroy you. And so Cain goes and he kills his brother Abel. And again, we see this is the first offering in Scripture, and God rejects it because of the heart. And so he had an improper heart attitude. And so early on, we see that it's more than just sacrifices. God is interested in more than just you bringing an animal to sacrifice on the altar out of ritual. He's looking for more than that today. He's looking for more than that today. It's about the posture of our heart. And there's a few Old Testament scriptures even that talk about this specifically. Let's read some of those. So Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, here's what it says. It says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. So it's this relationship that God is looking for. And that's the same today. God is looking for us to give out of the relationship that we have with him, right? He wants us to give out of that place. In Amos chapter 5, verse 21, verse 24, here's what it says. It says, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all of your choice peace offerings. Away with you noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. So before I'm going to bring anything to God, I want to make sure that I am in proper order. I am in the right heart condition, and I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm not doing it because it's part of ritual, but I'm doing it because of the place of my relationship and love with God. In Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, here's what it says. It says, what can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so right away, what we see from these scriptures is that it's less about the sacrifice. It's less about the ritual. It's less about all of the pretense and all the, again, the pomp and circumstance. It is less about that. And it is more about your heart in relation to God. The gist of it all is that there is more to giving than blind sacrifices. And so then it begs a question, and it kind of brings us current to today's sermon. It begs the question, so then how should we give, right? What should be the manner in which we approach our giving? I know, Pastor Nick, you're saying it's got to be about my heart, but what does that mean? What does that mean? And so today I want to share five points about how we should give. And I'll sum it up by using this word, and we're going to break this down into an acronym, but I'll sum it up in this way. We should give by faith. We should give by faith. And that is a twofold recommendation, to give by faith, meaning on one end, it is based off of what I believe. If I believe that God is who he says he is, and I believe that his word is true, then I'm going to give according to what his word says. So that's the first thing. Number two, I'm giving by faith. And there's a number of different things that I think of when I think about giving by faith. And it's an acronym that will break down. And it starts with freely giving from the heart. We should give as stewards of God's resources. So we should give as though we're imitating Christ's generosity. T, we should give thinking of others to bless. And then H, we should give wholly in our conduct. Okay, so let's break this down, right? Because again, one, we're giving by faith based on what we believe. And then two, we're giving based off of these different points that I just shared. So let's start with that first one, F. We should give freely and from the heart. In the same way that a farmer who plants only a few seeds, and this is a biblical principle that's shared, but in the same way that a farmer who only plants a few seeds is only going to yield a small crop, or let's think of it in terms of sports. If a coach who only pours into their team minimally, if that's all they do, then they're only going to yield minimal results or a subpar outcome from their team. And so when we give generously, when that coach gives advice, gives coaching and teaching generously to his players or to his team, or that farmer sows that seed generously across the field, when that happens, then what we can expect is to receive generously in return, right? And this may not be return in a financial sense either, right? It could be a return in favor with God or in favor for other things, or simply a feeling of peace knowing that we are blessing others. But the point remains is that I got to give freely. It's got to be not from the concern that I'm going to be looked at differently if I don't give, but it's got to be from the heart. And so all of us have to decide in our heart how much we're going to give, right? We got to be intentional about not being reluctant or feeling like we have to give or give in to the pressure of the pastor or some giving campaign at our local churches. But we've got to prayerfully consider, what are we going to bring as a gift offering to the Lord? And again, last week we talked about the gift being brought to the Lord. And if we think about it in that perspective, then I think it changes our whole mentality and the whole vibe in which we're giving. If I'm seeing it as a gift to be brought to the Lord and not just some sacrifice to be laid on the altar of my local church, then God honors that much more than the former. I think God honors that much more than the latter. I think he understands the ritual that we're experiencing, but I think what he looks for more so than anything is whether our heart is in the right place as we're giving. And so when we give in this way, freely and generously, especially to help those who don't have, God is very clear in scripture, and he promises to remember this forever. Okay, the next thing, my thoughts on how we should give. We should give as stewards of God's resources. That should be the posture in which we're giving. Meaning, I'm not giving from a place that is defined by what I have. I'm giving based on what God has and stewarding what God has blessed me with from his abundance, not my own. Right? God has blessed us with all of the resources that we have. No matter what it is, it all comes from God. And we are simply stewards, meaning we have been entrusted to manage well what belongs to God. And so as such, we must be faithful in doing that. We must be faithful in managing well what belongs to God. It's not about what others think we should do with our finances. I love Dave Ramsey and I love some of these other finance gurus, but it's not about what they say about our finances. And Dave Ramsey is a Christ-centered believer, and so he approaches finances from that place. And so you can trust that type of advice. And this is in no way an ad for Dave Ramsey, but what I'm trying to say is that we shouldn't be concerned about what other people think we should do with our finances. What we should focus on is what God says we need to do with our finances. Why? Because it belongs to him anyway. It's about what the Lord finds favor in as we attempt to manage what he's given to us. It's this level of responsibility that I don't believe we think about often enough, that says, I'm going to consider what Jesus might do with this before I consider my own personal needs or others' feelings on what I should do with my offering, right? And so with this type of responsibility as stewards of what God has given us, it's important for us to seek the Lord to understand what he might want us to do with our finances. The question should never be, how much of my money should I give away? Because it's not ours to give away. So that's not the question we need to be asking. The question should be, how would God have me use this money and my finances? So we got to be stewards of God's resources, and we got to steward them well. The next way that we should give is we should give imitating Christ's generosity. we've got to imitate Christ. We have one of the greatest examples of how we should give in the form of Jesus Christ, to the point that we should give in a manner that mimics, or rather copies, how Jesus did. And so he modeled self-sacrificial giving throughout his life and his ministry. That's the example that we have and should follow. He gave without bias or favoritism, and treated everyone, rich or poor, equally and fairly. That is the way in which he gave. Think about it today. When he died on the cross for our sins, he didn't think, okay, I'm going to die for just those who believe in me. I'm going to die for just the disciples. No, he died for the disciples. He died for the Pharisees. He died for all of the Sadducees. All of that is what he considered. All of who you are and who you would be and who you will be in the future is what he considered when he died on the cross. So he wasn't about favoritism or bias. And so we should give in the same way. I'm giving self-sacrificially, and I'm imitating Christ's generosity. Here at The Grove, that is one of our culture, our values here at The Grove Church, is that we give with Christ-like generosity. We give in the same way that Christ gave. We want to be imitators of Christ in that respect. I saw this quote that said, giving isn't just a good idea, it's God's idea. So it's not just a good idea, it's God's idea. And along with that quote, I love what followed, because the person shared a list of reasons and verses to go along with it that show that God is the ultimate giver. And so on the post, the author said a few things like this. He said, the Lord gave the land of Israel to his people. The Lord gives protection. The Lord gives rain to all. The Lord gives strength to his anointed. The Lord gives victory in battle. The Lord gives strength and peace to his people. The Lord gives provision. The Lord gives understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives life to the world. The Lord gave us Jesus. The Lord gives us his Spirit. And so in the same way that God is such a giver, we have to imitate that same heart to give to others. As a matter of fact, the Greek word for give is didome, or didome, which implies this giving of something of value freely and unforced. And so ultimately it indicates that the giver, we take on the character of Christ and his nature, which is to give. And so that is the heart posture that we have, is that I'm going to give in the same manner in which Christ gave. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says it like this. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. I'm going to say that one more time because I think that's just great. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And this includes our giving. Okay, the last two points for today. How we should give. We should give thinking of others to bless. We should give thinking of others to bless. When we see God's people are in need, that is an opportunity for us as believers in Jesus Christ. We should always be ready to help people. We should always be ready to help God's creation. We should all be willing to share what we have with one another, because these are the things that please God. I'm doing it to please the Lord. So I'm giving to his people who are in need. I am ready. I am at the ready to do that. I don't have to get ready. I don't have to work myself up to it. I am ready to bless those in need. And again, it's all about our attitude, right? We can't be selfish in this respect or try to impress others because of what we have, but we need to exercise humility and not be so consumed with our own needs that we don't look out for our neighbors. Right. And again, to qualify neighbors, as we typically do when we talk about loving our neighbors, that's anyone that you have the chance to come in contact with. So absolute strangers are your neighbors, and we should not give because, oh, this person goes to my church, so I'm going to bless that person. Oh, this person, oh, I know they're a believer, so I'm going to bless them. No, I'm giving to every one of God's people who are in me. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 7 says it like this. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. I love how Jack Hayford talks about this, this principle and says that caring for those in need or serving human needs is an investment with God. I'm going to say that again. Caring for those in need or serving human needs is an investment with God. And the reality is that God associates himself with those who are in need, and he takes their plight personal. God is going to be down with the lowly person. God is going to be understanding of the person who's on their last leg, who has nothing. We see time and time in scripture where a widow has nothing or a family has nothing, and Jesus comes in to bless them, or God sends someone to bless them. So God understands the plight of the person who has nothing and is down on their luck, and he takes it personal. And so when we give to others in need, God promises to repay us for it. He's because of how much he cares about his creation. When we lend a hand, when we are the hands and feet of Jesus to help someone in need, God sees that and he repays us for it. In Psalm chapter 41, verse 1 through 3, here's what it says. It says, oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. This is all talking about the person who gives to others. And so it's not just about giving monetarily either. And I know we're talking about that in the context of money throughout this series, but it's not just about giving monetarily. It's about your time as well. Maybe I don't have anything from a financial standpoint to give, but maybe I do have my time. Maybe I do have wisdom. Maybe I do have something that I can give. So it's not just about monetary things either. Providing housing for a homeless family or visiting those in prison or feeding those who are hungry all count when we think about giving. There's a quote that says this, the Lord himself will repay us, not necessarily with wealth and comfort, but with the honor of reflecting his character by the sacrifice we make on behalf of the poor. And so when we give, we gotta think of others that we can bless when we're giving. Okay, our last point today as far as how we should give is that we should give wholly in our conduct of giving. We should treat our giving as holy. And so the manner in which we give should be one of holiness, right? Meaning that what we intend to give should be set apart from all other bills and all other transactions. Not only that, but it should be the first thing we pull out, right? And so in a practical sense, how this looks is when you get your paycheck or when you get your paycheck on a Friday or whenever you receive something of monetary value, automatically you're taking right off the top of that anything that you're going to give. You're separating that. You are making that holy. You are calling that holy. Even though it's just a piece of paper that has value to our government, when you take that and you are intentional about setting it aside first and saying, we will do nothing with this except for give to build the kingdom of God, you have made that thing holy. And God honors that. Not only that, but it should be the first thing we pull out. While tithing is all about like the first 10%, with that and our offering, which is above and beyond the tithe, we should set all of that aside first. Peter reminds us that we must be holy in everything that we do. So maybe you're thinking like, wait a minute, holy in my giving? I've never thought about being holy in my giving. Peter reminds us like we should be holy in everything that we do, not just in our giving, but in our relationships, in our attitude, in how we work at our job. Everything that we should do should be done in a holy manner, in a conduct that is pleasing and separated and set aside for God. Just as God is holy, we got to do everything we do with holiness in mind. Peter was also referencing Leviticus when he said that in his text. He was referencing Leviticus where God says we must be holy because he is holy. And so in our giving, we imitate this holiness, the holiness of God. We should also think of our offering and tithe as something, again, set apart, dedicated to sacred purposes. It's sacred. What I separate on first from anything that I gain is I'm separating it and saying this is sacred. There's a quote about this that says, holiness is separation from everything profane and defiling, and at the same time, it is dedication to everything holy and pure. And so our giving should be consecrated. It should be separated. It should be properly revered. We should look at that what we have to give in proportion to what we have as sacred. This belongs to the Lord. It's set apart for God. It's reserved for God and service for him. That is the way, the conduct in which we should behave when we are giving. I want to wrap up by sharing a few things here. You know, the reason we need to talk about generosity in church is because at the very least, we have to understand that God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Like that's not me telling you that to try to pressure you to give more. No, that's what scripture says. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Not only that, but he declares that when we give in this manner, he is going to generously provide all we need. Again, we started this message by talking about the manner in which we sow is the manner in which we're going to reap. And so when we give in that manner, if we give from a place of generosity, God is going to bless us. Meaning, more specifically, we will always have everything we need and plenty left over to share with others when we give generously. That's God's promise to us. And there's something intentional that I hope you caught from that, from what I said and what God says ultimately. And from the Old to the New Testament, God focuses from beginning to end, he focuses on the attitude or the quality of our heart when we give, not the quantity or the amount of our gift, but the quality of our heart in which we're giving. In fact, scripture is clear that what we give is always in proportion to what we earn or what we have. And so it's always about quality over quantity. I'm not trying to outgive my neighbor. I'm not trying to outgive the next person, the person next to me. I'm giving based on how God has blessed me. And if I believe, if I have faith to believe that God has truly blessed me, even though I may not feel it, even though I may not see it, even though I can't touch it, if I, by faith, believe that God has blessed me, then that is the place in which I'm giving from. I'm giving from the place that God has blessed me. And so I can give to others knowing that what he's done for me already. And the best thing that we can do when we are faced with an opportunity to give is not to think of it as giving something up or thinking about the monetary loss, but rather thinking about the posture of our hearts when we give and the spiritual gains we yield when we give in the posture that God finds favor in. The favor in which we will be found in God's sight when we give with a heart that says, man, I'm glad to give. I am cheerful when I'm giving. I'm giving generously. I want to bless God and I want to bless God's people. Make no mistake about it. And I said this last week, God doesn't need anything from us. And it's not about giving anything to God, but it's about gaining everything from him when we give. It's what we yield. It's the outcome of our right heart in giving. God promises to bless us. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 25, and I'll end here. It says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you and I pray that it fuels us, that it encourages all of us who hear it to be more generous in our giving. Not because we feel pressure, not because we want to be good Christians, but because we recognize that when we give generously, when we give freely and from the heart, that you see that, God. You know that it blesses your people, and in turn, you've promised to bless us. So Lord, we thank you that you are softening our hearts right now, that where we've been hard about giving, or where we've been stingy in our giving, or where we've been reluctant in our giving, God, I pray that you are turning our hearts around, that you're softening our hearts in this area, and that we will become the most generous givers that we've ever experienced in our lives. And Lord, as a result, your kingdom will be built, your people, their needs will be met. And Lord, more importantly, you would be glorified and honored in our giving. So we thank you now for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, like we always do at this time, I want to give those who have never given their life to Christ an opportunity to do that right now. And maybe you have given your life to Christ at some time in the past, but you recognize and you acknowledge that you haven't lived according to his word and how he'd expect you to live now, knowing who he is. Today is an opportunity for us to turn that around. Today is a chance for us to pray a prayer that there's no magic in that prayer. There's no secret sauce or pixie dust that's going to come from the sky and land on you, and all of a sudden your life is going to be turned around and changed. But it is an opportunity for us to pray what we believe in our heart. It's an opportunity for us to acknowledge who God is. And when we acknowledge who God is, that is the opportunity for us to change our life. It's not simply in the prayer, it's not simply in the words, but in the same way we talked about our heart and our giving, it's about your heart when you pray this prayer. So if that's you, if you need to pray this prayer, if you need to come back to be reintroduced to Christ, this is an opportunity for us to do that. In just a moment, we're going to pray this prayer. But I want you to be thoughtful about your prayer. I want you to do business between you and God. It's an opportunity for you to acknowledge who God is in front of others. And the Bible is clear that if we acknowledge him in front of others, he will acknowledge us in front of the Father. But if we deny him in front of others, he will deny us in front of the Father. And so let's pray this prayer all together to out loud acknowledge who God is to us and in our life. Let's make this declaration, church. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So today I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. With this profession of faith, today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, I hope you and others around you who saw you or heard you pray this prayer are celebrating with you, because it is the absolute best decision that you will ever make in your life. And I mean it. And you just have to take my word for it. And I'm encouraging you to do three things that we believe here at The Grove. If you do, it will result in an outcome that you won't believe. And the first thing is to start reading your word. Because we want to know what God says about his son, Jesus. We want to know what scripture says about God. We want to get to know him and build relationship with him. But more importantly, we also want to know what it says about us, what God thinks about us, what God feels about us. And so start reading your word to understand that. And then I would start praying, start talking to God. Every healthy relationship is built on great communication. And so start communicating with God. Spend time with him. He wants to spend time with you. And not just talk, but listen, hear what God has to say. Start understanding what his voice sounds like to you. And the last thing I would say is to find some community that you can be a part of You can be a part of community here at The Grove. Hit us up on our social media. We'd love to know that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and get connected to you. But you want to find some believers who can encourage your faith, but you can also be an encouragement to them with your newfound faith. And so we just believe that if you do those things, God is going to change your world for good and for God. So we're speaking life over you, church. We're praying blessings over you. All times being grateful for you and who God has called you to be. And we can't wait to meet back up with you next week. We'll see you, Grove.